Well, hello, Kansas City. Oh, no, 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 that wasn't good enough. Hello, Kansas City. That's what we want to hear today. My name is Ian Shake here. I'm one of the organizers of the March for Science Kansas City. Thank you for coming out. Yes, we are here. We're going to learn. We're going to talk. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We've still got our march. I can't believe we decided to march 3 days ago, and that many people showed up at 27th and Grand. Thank you for making your voices heard. Thank you for making the walk. It's things like this that are going to make sure that we are heard throughout the country and throughout the world today. So first person that we need to talk to before we get to our first speaker, she actually can't speak. This is Jennifer Pace. She is the person who created the Facebook group. She is the person who made this all happen. None of us would be here if it wasn't for Jen, and she can't talk. So I've got her words before we get started with our first speaker. Where are you? Oh, yeah, just read this. So this is Jen. Think of it in her voice, all right? I have laryngitis, so I won't be speaking today. But I'm so, so proud of Kansas City, and I can't wait to see you all today. We see you all. We march for Earth. We march for life. We march for transparency, and we march for our future. We march because no matter who you are, science has affected you in some way. And that is just one more way in which we are all the same. So let's do this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get started with our first speaker, if you're ready for it. Our first speaker today is the director of the KU Cancer Center and has been working on researching breast cancer for more than 20 years. Everyone, give it up for Dr. Roy Jensen.
Well, thanks so much, Ian, and I want to thank all the organizers for the march for bringing folks out this morning. It's a beautiful morning, and I don't think we could have had better weather, and I hope that you're as thrilled with the size of this crowd as the organizers, because they could not be happier. I wish you could all stand up here and see the great signs, because clearly this is a highly intelligent, got-it-together crowd. So the reason that I'm here this morning is because, frankly, I've had many young people that work in the Cancer Center come to me and question their choice to go into science as a career. And I can tell you that there is nothing that disturbs me more than to see that next generation of scientists who believe that their career choice may have been a mistake. Because it seems like, and I want to emphasize that, seems like the public and our government don't value what we do. And I want to tell you that I believe that that is not correct. When you do surveys of the American public, nothing gets more support than biomedical research as far as a function of the United States government. And in fact, this government has been supporting science in a big way since the end of World War II. And that was a conscious decision that has led to some of the greatest advances in the history of mankind. The microchip, sequencing the human genome, putting a man on the moon. None of this would have been possible without the support for science. In fact, there are studies that demonstrate that since 1950, biomedical research alone has accounted for half of the growth in the United States economy. Now you may say, how could that be possible? Well, it turns out the explanation is very simple. In 1950, the average lifespan for an American was slightly above 60 years of age. Today, it's almost 80 years of age. And who would have thunk it, but a healthy 75-year-old contributes a heck of a lot more to our economy than a dead 65-year-old. So I see our issue in really two major buckets. One of which is a conscious choice by certain elements of our leadership to believe in ideology as opposed to science. And let me explain the difference between those two. Ideology is when you approach a problem from what you believe. Science is when you approach a problem from facts that you can prove. Now, we don't have to stand here and debate which of those approaches is better, because the definitive experiment has already been done. For hundreds of years, mankind approached problems with what they believed. That was called the Dark Ages. When the shift occurred and we decided to start using science and evidence-based facts to solve our problems, that was called the Age of Enlightenment. I know which approach we should use today to solve our problems, and it's science. Now, the second issue is a conscious choice by the administration to cut funding for science. And in fact, they want to cut the budget for the NIH almost 20%. And that would have a devastating impact on the NIH. It would have a devastating impact on the more than 2,500 institutions of higher education and healthcare which perform NIH-funded research across this country. It frankly makes no sense whatsoever. When you look at just cancer, the advances that have been made, in 1970, the five-year survival rate for cancer was 49%. It's now 68%. We are on the precipice of some of the most exciting breakthroughs in science that have ever been known to mankind. The sequencing of the human genome, has literally unleashed incredible possibilities for moving healthcare forward across a broad spectrum of disease. And we need to seize that moment, not retreat from it. I think a big part of seizing that moment is happening today across the country, and I congratulate you and thank you for being here today, because frankly, without your support, we're not going to be able to overcome those who are against science. I want to close with what I hope you'll find is a hopeful note. Because we have been working with our congressional delegations across both sides of the state line, you should know that some of your legislators are some of the strongest champions for science in the United States Congress. Senator Roy Blunt, Senator Jerry Moran, and Congressman Kevin Yoder and Emanuel Cleaver have all stood up and said that this is crazy and that we need to continue to expand biomedical research funding if we're going to realize the promise. Now, we have a problem, and they have a problem, because our Congress doesn't work anymore. They used to have open hearings and committee meetings and debate what was going in the budget. And they largely don't do that anymore. That was a process called regular order. There hasn't been a budget passed through regular order in this country for over a decade. And now what happens is through continuing resolutions and omnibus bills, well, they just sort of cobble everything together in the middle of the night in a back room someplace, and all kinds of horse trading gets thrown into the equation. God knows they don't even know half the time what they're voting on. So we have got to make sure that these issues are debated in an open public format to allow people like you to weigh in on the process. So thank you again so much for coming out, and I know that you have given me hope, and I certainly, when I have the opportunity to take this message to Congress and to our representatives, I will let them know where you stand. Thank you very much.
A left-wing conspiracy group. Oh my God, we heard that so many times over the past 3 months. We want to invite Kansas State Senator Barbara Bollier to come up. She is a Republican. She is a retired medical doctor. And she believes in science.
Thank you, Ian, and I am so proud to be here. When I drove down and saw the crowd, I got goosebumps all over my arm. Now tell me how that happened, you science people. And I want you to know, when I was introduced as a Republican, I always clarify, I am a moderate Republican. And I say that we are here today because we have some Republicans who don't seem to understand what science is. They missed that class in school. They don't worry. They don't have a doctor to take care of them. They would never go to the hospital. They don't drive a car. They don't use speakers. Oh, wait, all that is science, isn't it? Yes. How could we live without it? It's even in our art. Right here is my chemical estrogen sign. Yes, it matters. All of those things that we want to talk about and know about and care about. How many of you today are wearing garlic around your neck? It's funny, isn't it? Think not too far back in history, that's what everyone did. Why? We didn't have germ theory yet, right? They thought that was going to protect them from getting disease. And why did it? It smelled so dang bad you didn't get close enough to get those germs. That's the facts, right? Well, now we know the facts. And I'm glad we don't have to wear garlic anymore. I'm glad that we know to wash our hands. And I want you to know that as a physician, I never once said, "Are you a Democrat or a Republican?" Because heck fire, people, we are Americans and we should care immensely about making sure that our world continues forward happily, well, safely, cleanly, all those things that we have learned from our scientific discoveries and continued emphasis on knowing facts and certainly not alternative facts. My goal today for standing here in front of you is to let you know, one, vote, duh, but hold us, your public servants, those politicians, hold us accountable. I want to know that a person like me, when I'm going door to door, when someone says, they open the door and I'm Barbara Bollier and I'm running for Kansas Senate, they say, "Where do you stand on funding science?" You need to be saying that to people like me who are elected. It's not only about the budget, which does determine how much money we can spend, as Dr. Jensen alluded to or spoke about, but it needs to matter to those people running for office. I have colleagues that I have worked for years with to hand them data-driven evidence. And you know what happens with that? Many of these people have no idea how to read it, and it goes right in the trash. Boo. Not okay. And we need, for us as policymakers, we need to be looking at the data, looking at the evidence, saying maybe we should be expanding Medicaid in these two states because the data shows it. Maybe we shouldn't be worrying about whatever that they say, why we would need some type of energies and not others, without looking at the evidence and saying, this matters because my kids want it to be safe here and to know that they will be healthy. Your kids do, my parents did and still do, and for all the generations to come, we must stand up and say, science matters, fund it, and make sure that evidence drives our decision making. So I ask you, as the next election cycle, whether it be a city councilman, whether it be a school board election, whether it be next year when we're voting for new governors, at least in Kansas, yay, that you ask the right questions, don't make assumptions, don't assume because I have an R by my name, I am not on your team, because I very well will be. And make sure, and there may be somebody on another side that isn't, but hold us accountable and know that it matters and that your vote matters, your funding of those candidates matter, and believe it or not, that in 2017 we have to say this? Good God. How can that be? But let's say it. Science matters. Science matters. Science matters. Yes. All right. Thank you all. I cannot believe how many of you showed up. And keep at it and keep learning and keep pushing the world forward. Thank you.
Morning. Hi, my name is Wesley Hall, and I'm a future biomedical engineer. Well, hopefully, anyway. I'm not the only young person that hopes to one day take part in a STEM field. Anybody else want to take part in a STEM field that's young? Hey, me too. But lately, that dream seems more distant with the political state we have now. It's unstable, to say the least, with the government seeming to try to censor science and information, especially under this new administration. I want to one day complete my research and be able to give this newfound information to the people of the world, but I wonder what we, as the next engineers, technicians, mathematicians, and scientists, will be inheriting. Politicians seem to use alternative facts to draw people away from actual facts. It seems to be a fad that people consider alternative facts as real facts and science as opinions. If nothing's done, science will be performed as commercial science, and real science will be defunded and eliminated. Science will be restricted just to serve ideological agendas, and that's bad. People have always been weary when it came to science. When it was first theorized the sun was the center of the universe and not the earth, people were put to death. It was crazy, like Giordano Bruno. Anybody know who that is? Yeah. And people were put to death for believing that the world was round, which is something we know as a fact today. And some people aren't convinced of that yet, either. Today's weariness of science is understandable because, you know, the past is doomed to repeat itself if we don't pay attention. But we can change that by doing what we're doing now, being seen, making our voices heard, letting the politicians know that we have a voice too, and voting. Vote. One day, government funding might be cut out from sciences. We might not have vaccines. There may be no regulations on emissions or dumping. Global warming, not fun. What we are doing now, making ourselves heard, we need you as the ones with the power now, the people who can vote, do things for us, the young people. Keep the world great long enough just so we can take the reins. In the words of Charles Vest, looking ahead, I believe the underlying importance of higher education, of science, of technology, of research and scholarship to our quality of life, to the strength of our economy, to the security of many dimensions will continue to be a most important message. Thank you.
Elemental biology and a fellow at the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, and I will try to say his name properly with the accent. Where is he? Oh, there he is. He's chatting. Let's welcome Alejandro Sanchez Alvarado.
Good morning. I prepared a few remarks so I can stay on track. Let me just start by saying that, I'm pretty happy to be here today, and I want to thank you all for being here today, because it's not very often that we scientists leave our laboratories and do stuff like this. So it's kind of fun. But I have to tell you something. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I received an email from one of the young organizers of this event, and asking me to stand here before you and speak to you. So I turned around and asked my son and daughter if I should do that. And then they both said yes, and more or less told me, why would you not want to celebrate science? So that's why I'm here today. So today, I stand here before you as a husband, a father, a neighbor, and of course a scientist. And what I would like to do is share with you a few thoughts about where we are today and what we can all do to try to make things a little better for our children. So curiosity, determination, and hope. Those are fundamental components of not only the human spirit, but also of science. And I'm going to give you an example from our shared history. This dates all the way back to 1940 to 1945, and it's a story of a French scientist that not many of you will know. His name is Etienne Wolff. Science is populated with these types of individuals that go unheralded and unsung for many years. So this French scientist spent 5 years behind the barbed wires of a Nazi prison camp. 5 years. Just think about that. And you know what he did during those 5 years? Rather than succumbing to despair, instead, he sought to share his knowledge and taught biology to his fellow inmates. Just think about it. And you know what he did when he was liberated? After 5 years of unimaginable privations and darkness, Etienne Wolff picked himself up from his bootstraps, literally, and went straight back to Paris, his hometown, and opened a laboratory to carry out scientific research aimed at understanding the deepest mysteries of life. A laboratory that helped reestablish modern biological science in France after the horrors of World War II. Curiosity, determination, and hope. That was him. Now, these attributes are inextricably linked and essential to both science and the human spirit. They're one and the same. So time and time again, science has taught us that even though we live in a vast universe, that such vastness is eminently knowable. Curiosity, determination, and hope have allowed us to explore the bottoms of our oceans, to put humans on the moon, successfully land probes on comets, and send spacecrafts beyond our own solar system. Curiosity, determination, and hope have allowed us to make the invisible visible, from extrasolar planets millions of light years away from us to the very molecules that work incessantly inside of our own cells to make possible this precious gift we call life. Curiosity, determination, and hope is what drives us to plumb the depths of the unknown, armed with the scientific method as our best tool. Science helps us to know the universe and to know ourselves. And from that knowledge, we strive for and often derive much needed understanding and wisdom. Scientists have the peculiar charge of not necessarily seeking the truth per se, but making things less false. For to claim that one knows the unqualified truth about anything is to claim that we know everything. And we are certainly not quite there yet. So we scientists, therefore, must practice humility at all times, because it is only by sharing with others the knowledge we acquire through research and experimentation that we too can learn from others and together push back as an educated society against the rampant misinformation populating our times. So a central aspiration of the founders of our country was an educated citizenry. Thomas Jefferson once said that if we enlighten the people generally, tyranny and the oppressions of mind and body will vanish like evil spirits at the dawn of the day. So speaking to the graduating class of students on May 18th, 1963, a year before I was born, at Vanderbilt University, my own alma mater, our 35th president, John F. Kennedy, said the following: "If the pursuit of learning is not defended by the educated citizen, it will not be defended at all. The educated citizen knows how much there is to know. Therefore, the educated citizen has a special obligation to encourage the pursuit of learning, to promote exploration of the unknown, to preserve the freedom of inquiry, to support the advancement of research, and to assist at every level of government the improvement of education for all Americans, from grade school to graduate school." So, I do not think that the words of our 35th president could ring any truer than at this juncture in time. As we face these uncertain times at home and abroad, we all must decide how we can best prevent a collective flight from reason and self-knowledge. A special burden, therefore, rests on our shoulders to reject the demonizing of our fellow citizens who may disagree with us. So today I would like to make a proposal, an appeal, if you will. Let us build bridges before we build walls. So the current rhetoric of science versus anti-science, that is in many ways a false dichotomy, unlikely to shed any light on the problems that currently afflict us all. So as educated citizens, as scientists, let us make our teachers proud by diffusing such polarization instead of energizing it. Instead of hurling invectives against those who question the value of science, let's invite them to sit down with us and have a cup of coffee and a conversation. This is the time to reach out and find common ground to break down the persistent stereotypes that have hindered our communication. We scientists are also parents and neighbors who share with the rest of our fellow citizens much love for our children and the well-being of our communities and our country. So in the past, science has not only cured countless of diseases, but also prevented the death of untold numbers of people and solved problems of remarkable and astonishing complexity. Our current predicaments today are no different. Curiosity, determination, and hope, that is our currency. So as we practice science, let's foster curiosity in others. Let's steal our determination along the way and allow our collective hope to galvanize all of us into a common goal to serve society and our fellow citizens as best as we can. Thank you.
Let's hear it. Come on. All right, so we haven't done this yet, but some speaker, she is a pharmacologist and a behavioral scientist. We are Groot. Very good. I like that. Everyone, give it up for,
now was it?
I wanted to make sure because I have a transposition thing. I always do this. Anne Manzardo, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. It's such an honor to be here with so many illustrious scientists and colleagues from the university and the nearby area. I really appreciate it, and I'm humbled and honored to be invited to speak before you. I wrote down reports because I, you know, as scientifically, you know, scientists, we like to be, you know, control of our situation. And I had to use big print because I can't see like I used to. But I'm also humbled and honored to stand and represent women scientists at this important juncture in our history, where the individual rights and dignity of so many are directly threatened, and the line between facts and alternative facts has become dangerously blurred. Similar and in following the same comments as before, you know, the essence of science and the goals of scientific discovery are based upon fundamental human needs. The need for understanding, which is really the foundation at the core of the human condition. The need to understand why. Why am I sick? Why is my child sick? What or who did this to me? And could it have been prevented? Can I be cured? What can be done? These are fundamental questions derived from the human condition in the face of adversity. And we all ask those questions. We all also form opinions on the answers to those questions, and sometimes very strong opinions, regardless of the evidence, and sometimes in defiance of the evidence. In the Middle Ages, with little understanding of nature, physical or environmental laws, people did the best that they could to make sense of their environment through observations and associations based upon their personal experience. They formed their own hypotheses and their own theories to explain what they saw. One theory that you've probably heard of is spontaneous generation. Spontaneous generation supposed that living organisms could arise spontaneously from inanimate matter. Organisms like maggots were thought to arise spontaneously from dead, rotting flesh. Given the evidence and what was known and simple observation at that time period, that seemed like a reasonable conclusion. Of course, it was completely false. Sometimes simple observations of processes without consideration of underlying factors can lead us to false conclusions. Upon more systematic examination and testing to control for outside influences, it was shown that meat was merely a rich nutrient source upon which flies would lay their eggs. Nevertheless, that theory persisted for two millennia until formally dispelled in 1859 by microbiologist and chemist Louis Pasteur. Woo! Louis Pasteur is a great historical figure and pioneer in science, credited with the characterization of bacteriology, including microbial fermentation, processes of pasteurization to stop bacterial contamination of milk and wine. He pioneered the first vaccinations for rabies and anthrax. I think that we can agree that these seemingly simple concepts of sterilizing our food by today's measure were absolutely transformative for human health, medicine, and our survival. In fact, many of us would not be here if it were not for these very simple scientific principles that were discovered years ago. These and other scientific discoveries throughout history have had dramatic impact on human success and survival. One commonly used benchmark for global human health in modern medicine is the benchmark survival rates of our children. Children are the most vulnerable of our people and the clearest measure of the global condition of our species. Global estimates of human health and mortality in 1800 estimated that about 40% of newborn children died before the age of 5. 40%. Those numbers changed very little throughout for at least a century, and still in the year 1960 were estimated to be about 20%. Since this time, these rates have plummeted to 2015's estimates of 4%. A huge, huge difference from a century ago. Of course, scientific advancement cannot be credited with all of this success, but it certainly played a significant role. Fundamental determinants of the human condition center around basic needs for survival: the availability of ample nutritive food, clean water, and shelter, which are all too often more a matter of politics and policy than scientific understanding. Some of the critics that voiced their opinions early on when this march was being developed argued that science should be separate from politics, and we should stay silent in the face of changing political tides to preserve the integrity of science. But really, has science ever been free from politics? Politicians dictate our funding and the parameters under which we work. They control how scientific discoveries are used in our society. Many times, scientists must fight to correct problems that are costly to implement and unpopular, even among the public it serves. Policymakers did not respond well when told about dangerously high levels of lead in the drinking water and the children of Flint, Michigan. Scientists and community leaders had to fight for change. Even aside from these basic truths, what value is scientific discovery if what is learned is not taught to others? If these lessons are not enacted into policy, I may be in my laboratory in my office and discover something transformational to science, but as long as it stays alone with me in my office, it is of no value. That discovery is completely useless if not validated and reproduced by peer assessment and used to enhance and expand our knowledge base and our practices. What good is the cure for cancer if people with cancer can't get care? Some amazing landmark discoveries that advanced human health and reduced childhood mortality included a flurry of studies in the 30s and 40s describing a series and group of nutrient vitamins that are absolutely essential for human survival. These prevent the four D's: diarrhea, dermatitis, dementia, and death. These fundamental problems plagued our society for centuries due to scarcity of nutrient-rich foods and remain a problem in many poor and underdeveloped countries. In the United States, fortification efforts guided by the federal agencies virtually eradicated diseases attributable to nutritional deficiencies, which disproportionately impact children and the poor. In 1924, iodine was added to salt to prevent goiters. In 1933, vitamin D and calcium were added to milk to prevent rickets. In the 40s, the B vitamins, thiamine, niacin, and riboflavin, as well as iron, were added to flour. These simple voluntary changes ensured that any child with access to bread and milk will have access to essential nutrients required to survive. These critical transformational policies reflected a partnership between scientific medical experts with policymakers at the federal level, a partnership that continued to the present day in order to respond to new information and changing needs of the people. This partnership and interface between scientific evidence and public policy is critical to the welfare of people around the globe, and yes, even to the globe itself. So I stand here today with my colleagues, friends, and concerned community members in support of science, the quest for truth and understanding for the benefit of all. I ask our leaderships to listen to us, learn from us. Do not shut us out of the conversation. Please look beyond the corporate interests of the few to the common good of all citizens and the planet at large. Thank you. Science!
Let's get. Oh, man. This is fun. Thank you. Polar bears against climate change, because, you know, if you watched any of that Planet Earth stuff, State Senator Bollier, I mispronounced it, I apologize for that. Now we're going up to the other side. Kansas State Representative Brett Parker from Overland Park. Let's hear it for him.
Well, let me start by saying Happy Earth Day to everyone. This is such an incredible day, an incredible turnout. Thank you to all who helped put this together, all of you who have come out here, made signs, taken the time. I want to give a special plug to the voter registration booth, because everything we stand for here today, our voice is echoed if we show up to our polling places to do that. And you cannot do that unless you're registered to vote. So thank you to those who are doing that work today. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I can't go about more than 6 hours without making a plug for voting rights and making voting easier in our area. So take advantage. They're right there. Well, this, I don't know our exact headcount today, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, as a newly elected state representative, I believe you are the largest crowd I've ever spoken to. So you can pat yourselves on the back for that. I was reading a quote by biologist Richard Dawkins a little while back, and I'm going to butcher it here, I'm paraphrasing, but he was talking about how any ordinary person from today could give a tutorial on science to Aristotle. So think about the time we're in. If you have been through your K-12 science education, you know more about the way the world works than basically anyone who was ever born before you. And that is because of the people who put this event on, the people we're celebrating, those of you in the crowd who continue to advance scientific knowledge. We get to continue to stand on the shoulders of those who came before us, and everyone benefits from that. So I see it as our job is to continue that work ahead, because as Richard Dawkins said as well, if you take someone 2,000 years from now, hopefully any ordinary person would be able to come back and give a tutorial to any of us or to the brightest minds of our generation. And that is the system we're a part of. That's how it's supposed to work. So we have to keep that going. As I was thinking about coming here and talking to you all, I tried to look back to great political speeches on science by our leaders, and sadly there are not nearly as many as there should be. But the one that always comes to mind for me that I love is JFK's "We Choose to Go to the Moon." You know, he put this giant challenge out there in front of the nation, rallied around it, we put funding towards it, and whether it was through the space program or not, we have seen the benefits of all of that research and energy and passion. And so I look back to that, but I also think when we highlight only those giant leaps forward, we lose something too. I love giant goals. I love inspirational calls to action. I wouldn't be standing up here today if I didn't like a challenge. Now, I don't know, state representative may not be the biggest challenge for any of you, but as someone who never thought about running for office before, I should say in my real life, I'm a teacher. I've taught science, math, social studies. Thank you. Right now, I teach English language learners, and they all sort of connect. You can't do social studies without knowing the science. You can't do science without knowing the math. So, but I love those challenges, but I don't want to lose sight of what most of science is. Most of science is not getting your name in the paper or becoming famous for the work you're doing. Most of science is done day in and day out by people in labs, by researchers, by grad students, by professors, by doctors, by everyone, all the people who are represented here today. And that's kind of what I want to celebrate today. That is what continues to move us forward so that 2,000 years from now, someone will be able to come back, would be able to come back and give us a tutorial that would just blow our minds on everything we've learned about science. So if you are involved in that process, pat yourself on the back because you are moving humanity forward. I think we need to make sure that our elected leaders value those things, right? It is great for thousands of us to get up, well, probably millions around the country today, to celebrate these things and to make our voice heard, but we need to see it in policy. We need to see it in funding the National Institute of Health, the funding higher education, the funding K-12 and pre-K education, and healthcare, and all of those. And that happens when we connect with our leaders. That happens when we stand up to support a culture that values science and that continues to move things forward. I think community and dialogue matter a great deal in these things. You know, just think of our experience today. We're probably all a bunch of nerds here, and any one of us is capable of standing in a park alone and, you know, reflecting on how much we love science and technology. But this is better, right? We are with other people who value the same things. We are talking about the things that we value. And that is true for myself. That is true for Senator Boulier. It is easier to stand up for all of these things. And it is more heartening, and we are more passionate about it every day when we get to interact with people like you who are passionate about it. Stand together, that's right. It is easier for me as a House member to stand up for these things, knowing that Senator Boulier is doing it in her caucus in the other chamber across the hall. The more we can come together, the more we can start that dialogue in that community, the better we'll see it in policy. So start those conversations with your elected officials. Whether it's, like Dr. Boulier said, the people knocking on your door for school board and city council, or whether it's emailing people like me in the state house, whether it's those running for federal office. Start that dialogue. Start having a conversation. Start building those relationships. Register to vote. Make sure that you are ready to make your voice heard in that way. I stand before you as a product of what can happen when you turn disappointment from one election into action in the next. I did not dream about running for office since the time I was 10 years old. In fact, it hardly occurred to me until the state I'm from, Kansas, reelected their governor in 2014. I woke up the next day, I think, as feeling a lot of the disappointment that those around the country may have felt this past time. But I feel like Kansas is almost, we're almost coming to you from the future, right? We've seen policies we don't like and what happens when we elect people who champion policies that hurt education, science, research, healthcare. And we're just starting to turn that corner. There are hundreds of you here today. I got elected to my state house seat because about 15 people really cared. So think of the impact, and this is just the march in Kansas City. There's another one happening in Topeka this afternoon. These are happening around the country. Your work matters. Showing up for elections matters. Showing up to lobby for policies that you care about matter. Last night, I was watching, I'm sure like all of you, I pulled up an old Carl Sagan interview with Charlie Rose, which those two names in a sentence makes me more excited than I probably should be. Carl Sagan was talking about we live in a democracy. We have created this world that depends day in and day out on science and technology. But where are we as a culture and as a nation if we have a democracy and no one understands how science and technology work, even though we're dependent on it day after day? Right? I'm glad to be standing here with a lot of people who know how science and technology work, who know that that's important. But I would just urge you, keep advocating, keep making your voice heard, and if you're not registered to vote, go register to vote. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. You may know me from the science, not silence, screaming at the beginning. I think what I'll start with is, this is why I march. Oops. I've actually never spoke holding a piece of paper before, but I've also never spoke in front of so many people.
Yes. Get closer, Kenny.
Closer? Better? Okay. So, first I want to thank everyone. From the bottom of my heart, thank everyone for being here today. We couldn't have expected this many people, and we couldn't be happier. So I have to take a second to thank my fellow organizers, Jen, Jesse, Ian, Emily and Emily, and Facebook. I want to thank Lori, this is my wife, For giving me ideas when I had none, which happened to be most of the time. I want to thank Earth Day. I want to thank American Ninja Warrior for blocking our street. But seriously, I want to take a moment to thank Shannon Dooley from the KC Parks and Rec. She did an amazing job of helping me get our permit today. I can't tell you how easy she made it for me, even though I said there would be 1,000 people here. I think there are more. What do you think? I'd also like to thank Captain Dave Jackson from the Kansas City Police Department. Seriously, let's give it up for them. You guys can't see them. They're here to help us. Just an aside, he took the time to call me and tell me what they were going to do today. And, you know, for all the things that are said, he and the police department have been amazing. Last, I want to thank John Couture. He is the owner of the beer station in Waldo. He is hosting a gathering to continue the discussions that we're starting today with the people we know, with the people we don't know. It's also benefiting four science organizations. The money will go to four organizations, and, you know, we could not have been happier to have him on board. All right, now that my introduction is done, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my part. So maybe a lot of the kids and the kids at heart will know this. I lost my voice from screaming earlier. Okay, if you're a dreamer, come in. If you're a dreamer, a wisher, a liar, a hoper, a prayer, a magic bean buyer. If you are a pretender, come sit by my fire. For we have some flax golden tales to spin. Come in. Come in. This is a poem from Shel Silverstein. And it segues into what I think is important. 158 years ago, a dreamer named Charles Darwin published The Origin of Species, changing how we look at everything in the world. 116 years ago, a simple man and the simple pea plant changed genetics forever. 64 years ago, a complicated science race led by Rosalind Franklin, Francis Crick, and James Watson led to the discovery of the structure of DNA, again, changing the world forever. 24 years ago, the first 3D printer was invented, changing the lives of people every day. 14 years ago, the Human Genome Project was completed. All 3 billion or so base pairs changed in the way we look at ourselves. 3 years ago, the CRISPR-Cas9 system was invented, paving the way to change our DNA with the hopes of curing diseases. So what are the dreamers of today discovering that will change the way we do or look at things? What about our dreamers of tomorrow? Look at the momentum we have gathered over these 150 years. Are we going to allow science to be silenced? Are we going to extinguish the curiosity of our children by taking away their hopes of changing the world? This is why I march, because dreamers will always exist, and they will always need a reason to come and sit by the fire. I'm going to end with a little story about our group. There are four people running into each other on Facebook about 3 months ago. Jen Pace, Jesse Blackborough, Ian Sheikh Kahir, and myself. A hodgepodge of people who wanted to be part of something bigger than themselves. We started a Facebook group thinking, you know, maybe we'll get a few other interested people. And then all of a sudden, we had 1,000 people join. Then 2,000, 3,000, and before we knew it, we were chatting with each other to almost 1 o'clock in the morning, counting to 5,000 members, like it was New Year's Eve. When we broke that milestone, we realized, oh, yeah, this is real. We have all spent many days and nights talking to each other and planning this event. As I stand here today, I can say that it was well worth the time. We are here to celebrate science. But we also are here to celebrate those long days in the lab and friendship. I'm going to leave you with a quote from Randy Pausch. If any of you guys know, he's the writer of The Last Lecture. The brick walls are there for a reason. The brick walls are not there to keep us out. The brick walls are there to give us a chance to show how badly we want something. Because the brick walls are there to stop the people who don't want it badly enough. They're there to stop the other people. Thank you.
Are you ready? Actually, we could go. Yeah, come on out, guys. We'll do one other. She
blinded me.
Sci babe. Yvette D'Entremont. I pray I said that correctly because I'm horrible with French. She holds a BA in theater, a BS in chemistry, a master's degree in forensic science with a concentration in biological criminalistics. She worked for 8 years as an analytical chemist, and her favorite laboratory instrument is the GC7890A. I know, whose isn't, right? As I said, she currently runs SciBabe full-time, and we are proud to have her here, and she's a Kansas City person. So everyone, give it up for Yvette D'Entremont. Say bye, Ginger.
How you doing, Kansas City? Am I at a Trump rally? Let's try that again. How you doing, Kansas City? Ooh. Oh, you guys came out for science today. I like it. And just in case anyone's in the audience taking a chemistry exam, I came ready to help. I couldn't be bothered with carrying the periodic table. I found a dress designer. I figured it was the next best thing. But for this, I often get told that I don't look like a scientist, to which I say, what does a scientist look like? Because I'm looking out of the crowd, and I see a lot of people who I'm sure are scientists. Where are the scientists at? Where are my scientists at? Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. Scientists, we woke up. I know you guys, you like to sleep in, and you came out on a Saturday. You should be catching up on your Netflix, and instead you're here hanging out with me. What are you doing with your lives? That's questionable life decisions, but I like it. But here's the thing. Scientists don't have to look a particular way. And when I launched SciBabe, a lot of people were like, SciBabe, what are you doing? This is very silly. And I'm like, I didn't have to turn in my lipstick when I signed up to study chemistry. That's not how that works. I didn't turn in my Doc Martens. That's not a thing. They don't tell you have to dress in Dockers, though there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to Docker shame. That's not going to be a thing. But they didn't tell me I had to dress a certain way to get a master's in forensics. They didn't tell me that my ethyl acetate was only going to behave if I dressed conservatively, if I worked a certain way. I just had to be able to do some damn science. And that's what I could do. But then I started a little blog where I decided people needed to understand what good science versus bad science was. Because if you've seen your Facebook feeds, there's some weird shit going on out there. There's some stuff for the people who brought little people here, I apologize for the tiny little bit of language that they said I could use. So I'm gonna curb it. I apologize. But anyways, So I started my blog to try to communicate science in a way that would reach people. Because I've been on the internet, and people like to communicate in the language of dirty jokes. And that is how I like to communicate. Because when I'm home, and I'm just not in the laboratory, I'm reading cracked.com, I'm reading dirty jokes, and that's how I like to goof off. And people like to read and to learn by things that they can relate to, because science, When it's good, it's a good story. And science is always a story of people when it's really good. And this is something that I love about it, because science, it tells a story. And it's a wonderful thing when it's telling a good story. And this is, and everyone thinks it's a story of technological advancement and data and space, the final frontier. And it's really more a story of how we're progressing humans in the way we live. The best science, the things that touch our lives and things that we gravitate towards and that we remember, they tell a good story and sometimes give you reverb when you're talking a little bit too intensely into your microphone. But I know everything seems really contentious right now, and things in politics are scary, and we have a guy who wears a triple for a wig in the White House, and that's That's as close as we get to science in there. But I'm more hopeful than ever because I see, again, people lining up on a Saturday to hang out with a group of scientists talking in the middle of a park. This gives me more hope than some guy who I don't know if he knows how to read more than a golf score. So that's that gives me a lot more hope than anything. But here's the thing. I think people of all political stripes, all stripes, are pro-science. And I know there are going to be some people shaking their heads, but here's my proof. I think everyone loves science. You know how I know this? How many Republicans do you know who have an iPhone? A technological marvel of the universe. They love science, they just don't know it. They just don't realize it all the time because science is so integrated into our lives. We take it for granted. It's all around us all the time, making our lives better. And it's a good story, and it's all around us all the time. I'm using it in my hand right now. I mean, I go home and use it to send people funny pictures of cats and you know, order makeup that I don't need. Like, this is what we use science for. It makes our lives better and more convenient and sometimes funnier. And these are things that we forget about because it's just making our lives better all the time. And science is always a good story. And these are things that we forget about because it's just so integrated into it. But people love their gadgets. And that's one place where we just don't even think about the fact that people that we think we disagree with, we agree with on a fundamental level. And that's a way we can get through to people that science is something we're using all the time. But without a good story, science doesn't give us much, because what's our impetus to go out to discover something new? We can go out and discover all the things, but where's the vital drive for it? Because science, it's not just a collection of subjects. Science is the way, it's a tool by which we discover new things. It's a method of learning new things and preening information from the universe, and that's the beautiful thing about it. It's the way we harness everything that the world has to give us. But without science, we never would have left the caves. There's one bit of good news. We might not have caused global warming. One little bit of good news, but we wouldn't have ever made it as a species. We would have died from famine or from diseases or from something. I mean, no climate change, but we wouldn't be here learning all the secrets of the universe. And I don't think that's a very good thing. I like being here. I like my cat memes. I'm just saying. they're enjoyable. But that's not a good story. And science has such a good story to tell us. You know, it's like, let's get out of that cave. Let's see what's out there. Let's have somebody light the first fire and then ask, why is Bob rubbing two sticks together again? Who gave Bob the sticks? We told you not to let him play with that. But, you know, science is such a human story. I know we see all the data, but it's a story of people coming together to do great things, to make our lives better, to advance humanity. And since we've evolved, since we left that cave and lit a fire, we're bumbling around learning new things. Like, it's fancier fires now. We're looking through giant telescopes, looking at pulsing stars. We're trying to put out the burning fires of fevers of new pathogens. But still, it's a good story, and it's a human story, and it's always a story of people, and of all of us, and of people of different stripes and different ways of thinking, and occasionally different ways of looking, coming together and solving bigger problems for humanity. It's not just the data, it's the people. And science, it always comes down to these six words, because one of the things that people always say, and this is something I hear as a pejorative, is that science doesn't know everything. Have you guys heard this one from people who are trying to say, well, science doesn't know everything, so me, a mommy blogger, can tell you everything from this class that I took on essential oils? No, science doesn't know everything, so these are the six most important words in science. I don't know, let's find out. I don't know, let's find out. There's still a lot to find out there. There's still a lot. I see a lot of young people out here. I love this. I see a lot of young people out here do we have some young people who want to grow up to be scientists? You break my heart with joy. I love this so much. But there's so much left to find out. I mean, if one day science knew everything, we'd stop. the reason we're still finding, the reason we're still experimenting is that there are still questions to ask. There are still things we don't know about the universe yet. There are still things we don't know in our own backyard. We still haven't explored all of our own oceans yet. We still haven't solved problems on our own planet. And Trump is talking about colonizing Mars. How about fix our problems here on Earth first? We've got a lot of work to do here is what it comes down to, and we can do it. And I see, looking around here, I'm more inspired than ever when I see the number of people, not just here, but all around the world that have come out to March for Science, because we have a lot of motivated scientists currently working and a lot of young people that are coming out that have seen what can happen when you start cutting off funding for science and how strong and mad as hell they are that this can happen. Stay mad as hell. Stay mad. Stay hungry. Stay mad. Don't let that go away, because this is just one day. Now, we were prompted to take to the streets or take to the square, be it the case, for this march, you know, because the triple-headed orange Cheeto guy in the White House did a lot of stupid things, and I'm going to leave it there on that. But, you know, folks, I think we're going to be okay, because here, the story isn't going to end here today. The story's going to keep on going, because we have a lot of scientists that are still working. The funding is still out there, and people are still going to work. Because one of the narratives that you hear over and over again is that things are getting worse than ever. And that's just not true. People always think things are getting worse, and they're always getting better. We're always finding new cures, we're always living longer, and we're always getting healthier. We're always getting better in our ability to make ourselves healthier. And we're always going to be doing that. It's continual, and it's a process, and science is always working together to make our story better. And when you leave here today, remember that. Remember that you're going to be a part of something bigger than you when you contribute to science. So go out and see what the world and what this universe has to offer. Go out and be a part of science and find a part of the story that you can be a part of. I'm the Sci Babe. Thank you so much, Kansas City.
Extra love, because she's one of our organizers. She is our social scientist. And her dog had surgery this morning. Dobby is okay. He had 4 inches of his intestine removed. Yes, that is science. I mean, that we're not just keeping every living being on this planet. It matters. You know, science matters for them. So we want to bring up Jesse Blakeborough. Come on.
Hey guys, first of all, without the microphone, just 1 second, because he got mad at me before. No. Can I hear one more round of science not silent? And now at a respectable decibel. Thank you guys so much for your passion and your time and your talents. And I'm not going to lie to you, I don't know what I'm about to say. I tried to write this 1,000 times, and I have been dealing with my little happy elf who's been sick, so I'm happy to be here. And I just wanted to say that the face of science is multifaceted. We don't know what a scientist looks like because we're changing all the time. Ooh. Science is changing. It's not just in a laboratory. It's not just with really cool looking beakers. Sometimes it's getting down there in the crowd and talking to people and getting numbers. And that is one thing that I'm doing today. What I do in my work is college access based science, where I look at low-income underrepresented students. I come up with strategic messages, strategic methods, and strategic times. A lot of strategy. Goes into my social science to try and figure out how best to reach people and how best to help people. And I think everyone that's out here wants to help people. So, little plug for my experiment. Right now, I have had 844 lovely folks come up and check in with us. What we're trying to do right now is count this crowd accurately to prove that sometimes it can be a little messy. I know I've got my lovely team, Emma Holsketter, my sister Allie Blakeborough, and a couple other volunteers that are walking around trying to get you all counted. But I'd like to throw it to you all for a little bit of social responsibility. See if you guys can find us before you leave, because we don't want this to be an alternative fact rally. We are here. We matter. Our voices matter. This discourse is starting now, and it's not going to end after this march. We can't just come here with our beautiful signs. They're beautiful. But we need to keep going afterwards. I hope to see all of you at our after party. I'd really like to talk to as many of you as I can. The after party, why thank you, man in front, is going to be held at Beer Station. It is family friendly in spite of beer in the title. There is beer. Thank you, science, for beer. Let's give a thank you to science for beer. Thank you, science. But there's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of talking that needs to happen post-March. We're going to be releasing something that National has been working on, which is going to be a week of action so that we don't just stop with this march. There's going to be information where you can reach out. There's going to be activities for you to take part in because you've already done a lot by being here. And I knew this was going to be a beautiful crowd. And you guys make such a beautiful noise. Let's hear it one more time. So yeah, I'm not going to take up too much more of your time. I just wanted to say why I'm up here marching. And this, for me, it did hit home. Obviously, I've been, like a lot of you, affected by what's happening right now with our political system. And I believe firmly that we need to make policies, and we need our policymakers and our people in power to utilize scientific information to maximize the most amount of good. I believe that science helps with the most amount of good. When we look at it, when we peer review, when we question, and when we're wrong, we have to be okay with being wrong. We have to be okay with standing up when it's hard. And this is hard right now. We're facing a population that looks like us. They are us. We need to start talking about why science is being dismissed and why it's being ignored. And I think that there is a real fear out there that's natural. It's natural to be scared of what you don't know. I'm scared of stuff all the time. I was scared this morning when Dobby went into surgery, but I knew that I had a trained doctor who understands and was wrong, but hopefully right more times than she was wrong. But it's important. And I'm so grateful to be here with you all today. I am absolutely nervous right now, but I'll stop. But that's the point. You got to put yourself out there to stand up for what's right. I believe in science. I believe that science is in our healthcare, it's in our food, it's in how we get to work, it's in every part of our lives, whether you believe in it or not. But it needs us. It needs us to stand up for it. We need to speak for science, for all kinds of science. We need to speak for reason. We need to speak for peer review. And we need to continue to make sure that these voices are heard. Your voices are heard. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this and for listening to me today. You guys rock!
Let's hear it for Jesse Blakeborough. All right, so I've got some more awesome. We've got some more awesome signs. I'm gonna have to end up having to fix this in a little bit, but so we've got. Yeah, that'll work. There is a sufficiency in the world for a man's need, but not for his greed. Gandhi. I like that one. Come on up with your shirt. Best shirt I've seen in a little while. I'm not a mad scientist. I'm only mildly irritated. And actually, that goes very well with Cy Babe. You know what? It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be irritated. We've got to work together to stay in the view, stay in the spotlight, make your voices heard. Keep doing this. Don't let this end today.
No, I'm
mad. Oh, she's mad. It's okay to be mad. But if you're just mildly irritated, we love you too. Thank you for coming up. Come on, let's give it up. All right, so we've got a couple more YMR stories. A couple more main speakers. Here, you can come get your sign back. By the way, I like the bear. Good drawing. Excellent. Good drawing. Come on. Art matters too. Us liberal arts people. Yeah, we matter too. All right. Tyson Nye 2020? I don't know. Would you vote for that? I don't. Resistance, it's not futile. I march for science because it's literally my job. The marching or the science? I know, probably both. Science, like magic, but real. All right, let's keep going. Research. Tremendous. All right, come on. We've got another Why I March. Kristen, I'm not going to try and pronounce your last name because I know I'll butcher it. Let's give her a round of applause.
Okay. Science was never my best or favorite subject. I actually dreaded that class in school. I mean, who cares that our bodies are made up of atoms and that the positive and negative things. As long as we can still live like we do, that stuff didn't matter. Except it does. I just didn't realize it until I was out of high school and learned science is basically everything, and everything is science. From the coffee my mom drinks, to the chemo shots I took, to the parks I take my kids to, science is everywhere. I march for science teachers who know half their students aren't paying attention, but understand the importance of teaching it in hopes they'll understand in the future. I march for the scientists working hard day in and day out on small, tiny grants, studying, searching, and creating cures for horrible diseases like cancer. I march for our national parks. There is beauty in these states, and that needs and deserves to be protected for many generations to be seen. From Yellowstone to the Statue of Liberty, there should be no reason, no excuse to censor them and leave them unprotected. I march for NASA. It's a very big world with nearly 7.5 billion people. It's even a bigger universe out there. NASA not only studies, but uses their ways and knowledge to protect us here on Earth. I march for science because of life. We want to preserve the life before us, live our lives now, and create a better future for the lives to come. I march for science because it's our right and our duty. It all starts with one standing up for something they believe in. This is not a moment, it's a movement. Thank you.
This is Shaylee. Let's give it up.
Hi, my name is Shaylee Harper. I am a ninth grader at Graham Valley High School. My school has a group called HOSA. Have any of you heard of HOSA? Okay. HOSA stands for Health Occupations for Students of America. It's a competition for students all across the state and in other states who want to become a medical professional in the future. My competitive event is sports medicine because I want to become a sports physician. I am a volleyball player, and I am likely to develop a shoulder injury caused by the deteriorating of the rotator cuff, and I may have to get shoulder surgery in the future. But fortunately, sports medicine can keep me playing volleyball for as long as I want, and I can thank science for that. Most importantly, I march for HOSA. Kids need to be encouraged to make a difference in science. If your school offers the HOSA program, I strongly recommend that you join. And if your school doesn't, then I recommend that you talk to a teacher and try to get it started in your school. Thank you.
Let's give it more. These are the kids who are going to make science keep going. As our young friend down here says, the future is now. These are the kids who are going to make science move forward for decades and decades. I want to point out a couple of people who I don't know if I'll be able to specifically point them out, but we found out that one of the organizers of one of the marches in the 60s when the EPA was coming about, one of the organizers of the marches for ecology and saving the earth in the 60s is here today. And one of the men who was fighting wildfires on the Colorado River, I see you with your sign, sir. He was here as well. We've got people who've been doing this for decades, and they are here today. Give them a round of applause. Give yourselves a round of applause. And remember, in 2040, 2050, when there's another march, you need to be here again. You need to be here, and we need to know that we're moving forward, not moving backward. Yes? That wasn't loud enough. We need to be moving forward, not backward. Yes? And yes, Carl Sagan is pissed. All right, our next main speaker, he is the director of the Center for Epigenetics and Stem Cell Biology. He's the vice chair of the Department of Biochemistry at KU Medical Center. Everyone, give it up for Ken Peterson.
Thank you. This is just fantastic to see so many. I had no idea there was so much love for science. And I feel like I can stay in Kansas City forever now with all this support.
I'm going to help you.
Thank you. I'm short. It happens. I want to thank the organizers for all the hard work they put into this event and for the opportunity to speak today. I mean, it turned out to be a fantastic day. I was worried it would be raining. Science can seem abstract when I talk about complex biological functions. My lab works on how genes are turned on and off in red blood cells. We use mouse cells, human cells, bacteria, stem cells, and mice as tools and models to study human red blood cell genes. Our experiments involve all kinds of equipment and techniques and protocols that probably seem very strange and unintelligible. But our work has very real-world effects. Scientific inquiry affects our daily lives in profound ways. Our goal is to cure sickle cell disease, beta thalassemia, and other red blood cell diseases. Sickle cell disease alone affects 400,000 patients in the United States and millions worldwide. This disease is a major global problem that causes a huge degree of pain and suffering. After 25 plus years of studies, we are close to new treatments and maybe a cure. In addition to the direct application of science to these diseases, just the basic understanding of how genes are turned on and off in cells has, in general, broad application to many other diseases beyond red blood cells, including cancer. So if you're a molecular biologist, you're a cancer biologist too. Science is integral to our daily lives. That is why I'm here today. Today, all of us are here to defend the importance of science to our 21st century society. The arts, humanities, and sciences represent the intellectual endeavors that separate our species from all others, pursuits that define what it truly means to be human. And so we march. We march because understanding the mechanisms of biology, health, and disease is the key to living longer, better, more successful lives. We march because the high quality of life we enjoy today is a direct result of investing in science. We march because our global population and consumption of resources are fundamentally and negatively altering the planet via potentially disastrous climate change. We march because clean air, safe drinking water, healthy food, and our natural resources are essential to everyone. Finally, we march because pursuing fundamental scientific truths is more valuable than selecting the evidence that supports our biases or beliefs. We march because the scientific method reveals fundamental underlying truths about the universe. Scientists don't Scientists draw conclusions based on evidence, and evidence is undeniable. We don't know it all, and scientific investigation is the best way to uncover the answers. The nature of scientific pursuit encompasses the virtues of altruism and honesty, and as such demands the dogged pursuit and verification of facts. Science serves people all over the world. It enables innovation. It provides us with clean water, electrical power, transportation, global communication, productive agriculture, and modern healthcare. None of the scientists I know entered the profession for personal gain. We did so out of a basic curiosity about our universe and how it works, a regard for the welfare of humanity, a concern for the conservation and protection of our planet, a desire to create economic parity for all our global inhabitants, a need to cure the diseases that ravage mankind or correct health disparities, a hope to provide food, water, sanitation, and shelter for all humans, or a combination of these. The choice is not always easy. Our training takes many years and long hours. We survive on meager salaries with the support and sacrifice of our families, if we're lucky. The payoff is years in the making for each of us, but the fundamental drive to discover, to create something, and to do good for humanity motivates us all. Yes, the process is arduous, but it is also exciting and remains so today. We come from all races, all religions, all gender identities, all sexual orientations, all abilities, all socioeconomic backgrounds, all political perspectives, and all nationalities. Our diversity ensures a wealth of opinions, perspectives, and ideas critical for science and social progress. Science benefits everyone. Government-backed science, which has brought us everything from GPS to the internet, is the foundation of scientific progress in America. Now it faces radical reversal as laid out in the Trump administration's budget proposal. You all know the details. The administration wants to eliminate the data sets that are the foundation of evidence-based policymaking. Before the inauguration, scientists and non-scientists alike rushed to archive government data sets. By eliminating climate data, the current administration intends to erase the foundation for climate policy. Without species data, there is no foundation for endangered species protections. In essence, the Trump administration has declared that the U.S. cannot afford to fund the basic sciences, but in doing so has declared that the United States cannot afford to invent, cannot afford to cure, and cannot afford to advance the scientific knowledge that so profoundly benefits our society. Trump has promised to create jobs, but cutting billions of dollars from biomedical research funding from the National Institutes of Health budget will do the opposite. This funding is the engine of our economy. Grants awarded to scientists like me result in new patents, medical devices, and other technologies. These patents, in turn, result in more public sector patents or form the basis of new biotech firms. Ultimately, this research gives us drugs, treatments, and therapies that save lives. The hard part is we never know what science is going to lead to the important discoveries that lead to treatment. Federal support of basic science is therefore hugely important. Drug companies won't do it, but they will take it forward when the basic science is ripe for development. It is a partnership between academic institutions and private companies. Funding cuts will destroy this powerful synergism. In fiscal year 2016, the NIH provided just under $25 billion in research funding to scientists in all 50 states. This funding directly supports the jobs of the principal investigators, me, and their research teams, my people out here. The producers of all the specialized equipment used in the research process, and ultimately the jobs of people who provide the goods and services demanded by those researchers and equipment manufacturers. Beyond this, the income generated by these jobs, as well as the purchase of research-related equipment, services, and materials, when cycled through the economy, supported 379,471 jobs and $65 billion in new economic activity. So that's a huge return. In Missouri alone, the $509 million in NIH awards supported 7,182 jobs and generated $1.2 billion in economic activity. In In Kansas, $91 million spent in NIH support provided 1,611 jobs and generated $264 million in economic activity. Much of this funding went to scientists in the Kansas City metro area. Congress has yet to complete the budgeting process for fiscal year 2017, and the White House recently proposed a $6 billion cut to the NIH budget for fiscal year 2018. These steep cuts will have a tremendously negative impact on the undeniable positive work that NIH-funded research does for America's health and economy. Scientists have an integral responsibility to keep the public informed regarding advances in their fields. That's part of why we're here today. In a manner that is understandable and approachable, we also have an obligation to recruit and train the next generation to assume the mantle of scientific pursuit. This includes K through 12 outreach, public seminars and town halls, interviews, and even social media. This outreach has important benefits for everyone involved, and I have experienced this directly. When I judged the Shawnee Mission Junior Academy Science Academy presentations a number of years ago, I had the pleasure to listen to a young woman in the 7th or 8th grade, Pratna Dalal. I was impressed with her work, her scientific acumen, and the quality of her talk. She was too young to work in my lab, but I gave her my card and told her to contact me when she was a sophomore in high school if she was interested in developing a project for the science fair. Sure enough, she called. She came to my lab, devised her own project, and executed the experiments. She went on to win the highest honor, the Grand Award, at the Greater Kansas City Science and Engineering Fair. Not once, but three straight years. From there, she went on to win sixth in the biochemistry competition in the International Science Fair, and then the BioGenius competition, which earned her a trip to the White House to meet President Obama. Now she is an MD-PhD student at Northwestern, funded by a competitive NIH pre-doctoral fellowship. Pratna's success is a huge source of personal pride, and it's a remarkable achievement that all of Kansas City can be proud of. It's also a perfect example of the power of publicly funded science to transform lives in myriad ways. Don't you want your children to have these opportunities? I do. Inevitably, scientific research sometimes reveals socially unpalatable truths. It creates tough choices by confronting us with the prospect of necessary but uncomfortable life changes. Because of that, it can engender resistance that in the long run causes major damage. Currently, we are faced with such a situation on several scientific fronts, but most clearly in connection to climate change. Our administration wants to ignore tested and verified data to push their political agenda. They wish to subvert federally funded science and cut funding to cripple intellectualism in the United States. By marginalizing science of all types, impeding the reporting of new data and facts, rolling back regulations protecting citizens, denying climate change, and crippling global health, those in power can control legislation that benefits the few rather than the majority, for short-term gain at the expense of long-term disaster. Leaders can proffer their data and alternate facts to mislead and control society for their own self-interest. Both sides of the aisle have advanced anti-science agendas and policies that harm all of us. Science should not serve special interest, and it should not be an object of partisan debate. Data should not be cherry-picked to misrepresent the majority findings within a scientific field, nor should it be quashed by denying access to informative databases or shuttering our scientific agencies and institutions. Gagging intellectual freedom and truth puts us on the road to authoritarian rule and frays our democratic process. At its core, science is a tool for seeking answers and should be used to influence policy and guide our long-term decision-making. Our critical challenge now as citizens and scientists is to build an enduring relationship with the public to make our voices heard. The value of science is being questioned. Now the administration proposes policies that ignore scientific evidence and endanger human life and the future of our world. We face a future where the state ignores scientific evidence and Americans remain ignorant of science's impact on their everyday lives. Silence is a luxury that we can no longer afford. You must take a stand and support science. You must take this stand. You must be proactive. Call your representatives. Demand that they oppose cuts to the EPA, NASA, National Science Foundation, and NIH, but also the NEH and NEA, whose work help us to understand the role of science in shaping what it means to be human. Demand that your representative create legislation to protect our knowledge databases and our public access to them. Demand they pass laws to protect scientists' freedom of speech. Demand that they do not hobble STEM education in public institutions. Demand that they make decisions based on full, factual, sum total knowledge within a scientific field and not exclude key data to support selfish agendas. Demand candidates who support scientific inquiry and its value as an engine of our economy and a guarantor of quality of life for everyone in our nation. If that doesn't work, run for office yourselves. Together, we will oppose those who undermine the good of many for the benefit of few. Together, through science, we will make America truly great again. Thank you.
Just keep going with that. I miss, all right, okay. I just miss you guys so much I had to come back up and say another quick little thing. So we're doing a non-scientific study to figure out how many of you came here today to celebrate science on a Saturday. So if you guys, when you're on your way out or just while you're here, come over to this little stand over here, say hello and just be counted. That would be delightful. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but I'm a very big deal on Facebook. I promise you that's sarcasm. I take myself about this seriously. But if you want to come over and say hello and get a picture or whatever to brag that you met a mid-level important person on Facebook, obviously joking, come over, say hi, hang out. But come over, be counted before you leave. We would really appreciate it because we want to know how many of you are here. So anyways, I'm going to run off the stage. Thank you.
I've totally lost my list. Oh my God, I've been so good this whole time. And now, Jenna, yeah. All right, first, among our last, I'm over the moon for science. Excellent, dude, excellent. All right, we've got a couple more people to speak, then we're gonna close it up. Science because you can't make poop emoji up. Don't hate, educate. We love science. MLS, without me, your doctor is just guessing. I like that one. Science is everything. Guess which believes in science, in climate science? The Pope? Or is that Sessions? Oh, no, that's Pruitt. The answer is the Pope. Yes, he does. It's time to cut carbon. Silence. Science trumps silence. Oh, my God, it might be real. I'm melting. Let's see, what else do we have? We have some resist out here. We got truth. There's only one. That's right, we've only got one planet. Act for future generations. Trump denies and lies and the earth dies. Science, not alternative facts. Oh my God, give yourselves a round of applause. Honestly, we are blown away by the number of you who came out. But let's not, fiction belongs in my English classroom, not in science. All right, so we got a couple more speakers. First, we're going to let up Jenna Squire. All right, Jenna Squire, she's going to talk for a second. We got a couple more YM marches, and then we're going to close it out with some Eco Elvis.
Hi, y'all. I'm Jenna Squires, and I'm here on behalf of Government by the People. We are here collecting signatures specifically for two of our ballot initiatives here in the state of Missouri. So if you are a registered voter in the state of Missouri at all, then we're collecting for the Green New Deal and also another initiative that protects against the legislature here in Missouri to instantly repeal something that we would so lovingly want to put up. So the Green New Deal... or the renewable energy project would be to rebuild infrastructure, put in new infrastructure that is energy efficient, friendly here, to replant trees here in the state of Missouri, and this would be done through capital gains tax. So it would, like, the lower class would be exempt from this. It would only really capital long or tax long-term capital gains. So that would be to rebuild our infrastructure here in the state of Missouri. Government by the people needs as much help as possible to collect more signatures. We have multiple initiatives as well beyond that, such as ranked choice voting, proportional representation, things that can truly put the government back in the hands of the people. And we here in the state of Missouri could be that, like, experiment. I heard wonderfully a couple weeks ago, I was at a conference, and somebody said wonderful words that here in the United States, we have 50 ongoing experiments that are how to properly run a state. So why don't we show the rest of the country, Missouri, on how we can run our own state the best and be that best experiment. So I'm Jenna Squires, and I'm running for U.S. House of Representatives here in the 5th Congressional District. Thank you, and God bless science.
See, stories, and hopefully she's... Oh, yes, you are still here. I found yours. I think I found it. I think this one's yours. We march in support of our planet, which is slowly dying. Science is sexy. I know that. Ask my wife. I think science is sexy. We march in support of our planet, which is slowly dying thanks to human mistreatment, denial, and the lobby of business. We march against the misinformation in medicine and for the children and adults who are shamed, mistreated, and dying thanks to alternative medicine or disbelief in their afflictions. We march for a better education in science, for it to be free of limitations due to religion, gender, monetary gain, and conspiracy theorists. We march for the love of our family, our friends, our city, our state, and our world. We march for those who are against us. Forgive them, science. They know not what they do. I march for my daughters, my nieces, my goddaughters, and my Girl Scouts to show them that the world is with them and that women can be in science, love science, and support science. That's our NASA shirt over here. Thank you very much. Oh my goodness. What time is it? I need a drink, I'll tell you that. I'll be honest. Who else needs a drink? I'm sorry, it's been non-alcoholic in the coffee I've been drinking all morning, so we gotta do something about that. Once again, we're gonna go through the rounds here. I wanna thank Emily Jo and the folks, her group, and also the group from Prairie Fire Museum for setting up the kids zone. If your kids didn't get a chance to get over there, give them a big round of applause. Come on. We want to thank our info volunteers. Emily, get up here. This is Emily Daniel, the other Emily. Emily has been our silent helper. She's been all those graphics and one sheets. I ran out of time to do all that stuff. She is our graphics goddess. Give her a round of applause. But she doesn't like to talk, so thank you. Do you want to say a word? Oh, she's gonna talk. Oh my God, Emily.
So yeah, I like to stay behind the scenes. I just wanted to mention that I'm 23. I just graduated from college studying biochemistry, and I want to hear from all the people under 25 out here. Where are you? Yeah. All right, we are the future, right? We're following in great footsteps. We listen to our mentors, but we have energy to get out there and vote and get out there and do science and get out there and communicate with the community, with the world, our science. And so one of the things that I am looking to do in my scientific career, which is just starting, I want to think about how I can be good at outreach and communicating our science to people, because that's super important. You know, not everybody gets to be a scientist and do it every day, but they still get to hear about it, and we need to make sure that they hear about it. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, so I encourage all of the young people out there and all of everybody out there, if you're scientists, to make sure you're thinking about communicating with people, the science that you're doing, super important, especially you educators out there with the young people that you're teaching. Thank you. And yeah, I just want to give out a quick shout out to our info volunteers over there. They've been really helpful today. They've been over there the whole time. Give them a shout out. Thank you, guys. All right. Yeah, so with your signs, you can drop them over at the info table over that way, and we'll have some more Linda Hall people running around collecting those as well. And that's all I've got. All right. Thank you.
That's the most I've ever heard her speak. Part quickly. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to close it out. We don't want to talk anymore. I'm sick of talking. My throat hurts. Jen still doesn't have her voice. You may have thought that Elvis was dead. It is not true. He's just been recycled. Ladies and gentlemen, Eco Elvis.
Thank you very much.
Happy Earth Day, Kansas City. Are you guys ready to rock and roll for science and Mother Earth? I know you can do better than that. You guys ready to rock and roll for science and Mother Earth? All right, well, I'm Eco Elvis, Kansas City's environmentally friendly Elvis, and I'm here to get you even more all shook up about taking care of science and taking care of our Earth. So, there we go. We got a little volume. Let's do a little Earth Day rock. You guys ready to rock and roll? You ready to dance and sing? All right. Well, the Earth needs your help, baby, can't you see? Because we really screwed up the land, air, and sea. Listen, I'm going to take a tip from old Greeny. Come on and do the Earth Day rock with me. Well, let's rock. Well, everybody, let's rock. Well, everybody's got to do more than talk and start dance to the Earth Day rock. Well, you thought just recycling would be enough. Well, don't fool yourself, a hummer calling your bluff. Wake up and take a good look at your lifestyle. Be changing what you eat, you use, and buy. Well, it's a rock. Well, everybody, that's a rock. Well, everybody's got a new morning talk. It's a dance to the Earth Day rock. Well, the Earth gives us everything we need to live. Beauty, food, and clothing, and a place to lay our head. How much your health, friends, and family worth? Put your money where your mouth is and take care of the Earth. Well, it's a rock. Well, everybody, let's rock. Well, everybody's got a new moment to talk. It's a dance to the Earth Day rock. Let's clean up, baby, clean up. Well, the way the Earth works still a mystery. There's a lot we don't know, a lot we can't see. We better change our ways, baby, just in case. The planet can't support a careless human race. Well, let's rock. Well, everybody, let's rock. Well, everybody's got to do more than talk. It's a dance to the Earth Day rock. We'll dance to the Earth Day rock. Dance to the Earth Day rock. Dance to the Earth Day rock. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. All right. Well, it seems to me if there is one thing that we as humans can agree on, it is science. And the environment, the health of our environment. Because last time I checked, it doesn't matter what your political stripe is. It doesn't matter what religion you are, what race you are, what age you are, what your sexual preferences are, what socioeconomic status you have, or where on this planet you are from. We all need, every one of us needs clean air, clean water, and healthy food. Those are scientific facts. Facts, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of facts established by science, let's talk a little bit about climate change. Let me tell y'all about how the temperature's changing. It's called climate change, and it ain't going away. Notice it, baby. It starts with the sun, it's light streaming down to the earth. The light turns to heat, then
goes on back into space. But now we've thrown out the cycle, the heat's staying here on Earth. Well, oh, well, oh, well, there ain't no use in denying it's a burning glow. Well, the heat is trapped by gases from the things that we burn, like the fuel in your car and the furnace and the power plants. It also comes from the clearing and burning of forests. Landfills and livestock contribute their share too. Well, now the oceans are starting to rise. Floods and droughts are coming our way. People, plants, and animals are starting to die from a burning globe. Sucking my baby now. Share a few ways how we can help save us from a burning globe. When you're replacing your lights, make them all compact fluorescents, or better yet, LED. When you're buying a car, make sure it's fuel efficient. Or better still, take the bus or join a carpool. Well, you gotta turn your heat down low. You gotta weatherize your home. Don't forget to plant some trees and save a burning glow. Hey, you gotta help the burning glow. Hey, you gotta help the burning glow. Hey, you gotta help the burning glow. You gotta help the burning glow. Sucking a baby. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, while I agree that we need to address our environmental problems collectively, because there is a lot of power in you guys out there today, a lot of it, I also want to call to mind the fact that we have power as individuals. We can't forget that. We, each one of you, holds the power of the vote. Each one of you controls how and where you spend your money. And each one of you has control over individual behaviors, behaviors such as recycling, conserving energy, conserving water, buying locally, eating organic. All these behaviors can have a tremendous impact on our environment. So without further ado, I think we need a little less conversation and a lot more action. We need a lot less conversation, a lot more action. This ignorance and apathy ain't a-getting it. If we care about our kids, then we gotta take action. We gotta get beyond a small-minded distraction, cause it's mindless disregard. Won't rectify, baby. Gotta save the planet now, baby. Well, we're all connected to the earth. It's a life support, and there are no emergency exits. We're not the masters here, we're just the stewards here. So get off your duff and start saving your home. With a lot less conversation, a lot more action. This verbal repetition ain't actuating it, baby. We need a lot more bite, a lot more bark, a lot more fight, a lot more spark. If you want a woman, you might have to offend the rectified, baby. See the planet now, baby. Come on, baby, let's stop talking. We gotta take action and stop balking. Well, we all need clean air. We all need healthy food. We all need clean water. Don't deliberate, don't ruminate, don't capitulate, don't meditate, cause it's time for a lot less conversation, a lot more action, please. It's the most important cause of the 21st century. We gotta set aside race, gender, and creed. People join hands, come and sing with me. Open up your heart, you gotta do your part. Rectify now, baby. Gotta see the planet now, baby. Well, come on, baby, stop this mindless chatter. Let's focus on something that really matters. The climate is a-changing. Humanity's to blame. We gotta change our ways. These are all truths that science has proven, and the truth is saying we gotta get moving and grooving, baby. For a lot less conversation, a lot more action, please. It's the most important cause of the 21st century. We gotta set aside race, gender, and creed. People join hands and come and sing with me. Open up your heart, gonna do your part to rectify now, baby. Gonna save the planet now, baby. Well, come on, mama, baby, gonna save the planet. Come on, mama, baby, gonna rectify. Come on, mama, baby, gonna save the planet. Come on, mama, baby, gonna rectify. Come on, get to it. Save your home. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Please follow me on Facebook and take care of Mother Earth and science. The truth is all we got. Thank you very much.
Eco Elvis has left the building. All right, I know we said it was going till 2, but that was mostly because we thought all the scientists would talk forever. This actually works out much better for us. So we want to say thank you. We want to say we are proud of all of you, and we hope that you're proud of us. Yes? That was totally for cheap applause, I know. Team Clean Air and Water, I like that one. So, oh yeah, where is that? Where's the march next week? Someone give me a paper for the march next week. Speaking of marches next week, there's other stuff. There is a climate march here next week. You know, a lot of people were saying, why aren't you focused solely on climate change? Because we're here for science. Science is bigger than climate change, but climate change is real. Climate change is real. And next week they're going to be marching for that. So you know what? Just make a new sign, come on out. You've already got your sign for next week. Excellent. That's the way to think ahead. So solar, yes. I totally want to, my roof has to be replaced because of a hailstorm. I totally want to go all solar, but just can't yet. Damn it, why can't we? We need to be able to. All right, I'm talking too much. We need to bring this to an end. Vaccines work, evolution is fact, climate change is real. Yes, it is. Hey, Trump, keep the planet clean. It's not Uranus. I think we may have found the right sign to go out on. So once again, thank you for coming to the March for Science, Kansas City. Jesse thanks you. Jen thanks you. Kenny thanks you. I thank you. My name's Ian. Everyone, drive home safely. If you're coming to the party, the after party at the beer station. Oh, and Jesse wants to do it one more time.
Seriously? I do, but also I just wanted to say, if you guys are here, one of our really important mottos of this march is leave no trace. So please take 5 seconds, look at the ground around you, pick up any trash, even if you didn't put it there, and put it in one of our bins. All right, one more time.
Science not silent! Thank you. Thank you very much. By the way, we saw your sign, Standing Up for Science. Oh, wait, that kicks ass. Everyone, thank you. Thank you for coming out. Have a great Saturday. Enjoy Mother Earth. Keep it clean.
What is it? You can see it kind of reacting to me, my voice, and what's playing in the room,
right,
et cetera. But, so stop.